السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This morning the students were reading in the Sirah Kitab with regards to Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu's journey to Iman. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was living in a family of fire worshippers, and he at that time, Allah ta'ala had put it in his mind that this is not the correct way to worship. He was always questioning his family, etc., this type of worship, worshipping fire, all that, this is incorrect. Eventually he managed to escape from his family. There were some travelers that had come there. They were following the deen that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had brought. So he managed to run away with them. And then he went to a place where there was supposedly a pious Christian person who was in charge of the church. And he said he will now devote himself to that person and the khidmat of deen, and he will learn. However, that person turned out to be a bit of a bogus person, that he was taking the money from the people and hoarding the money. He wasn't using it on the widows, on the orphans, all different works that he was supposed to be doing. He wasn't doing that. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives us this situation where we are in charge of certain things, dini organizations, etc., and we ourselves, we are not being honest, we are not living with integrity, with honesty, with amanatdari. Due to that, we bring ill repute to a dini organization. Somebody comes to know a certain person is part of a certain organization or something, but this person is not living a life of honesty and integrity. Now what happens? You bring ill repute to that dini organization. Whereas, what did the dini organization do? But shaitan puts things in people's minds to turn people away from the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So that Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, very easily this could have turned him away. That I have left my whole family, made all the sacrifice, everything, and I came here, and this person who is supposed to now connect me to Allah Ta'ala, this person is stealing the wealth of the people. But with Allah's fazl, he was undeterred. That if there is one rotten tomato in the crate, doesn't mean the whole crate is rotten. So eventually that person died. And when he died, the people came now and they were so sad and whatever. Then he told them, "By, don't be too sad. This fellow was stealing from your all your life. There's all the money lying here." So then they got so upset, they didn't even want to bury him. Eventually they took his body and they put it on a cross, and they all started stoning, pelting his body. Now, how was that going to help? But out of their frustration and anger, they started pelting that body. But khair, thereafter he went and he found another person, pious person, and he said, "This person was an exceptionally good person. I never loved somebody like how I loved him. He taught me the way, you know, to connect with Allah Pak." He stayed with that person till that person passed away. And like this, he went through a few people, you know, until the last person that he served, when that person was passing away, Then he asked that person, he said, now who do I go to next? That person told him, you know what, now there's nobody authentic left. But if you go to the land of the date palms, the time for the coming of the final Nabi is very close. So you go and wait there. And then he gave him the description of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and certain facts etc. with regards to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like this, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and came, and eventually he, Allah ta'ala joined him with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was blessed with that suhbat, and then he became who he became. My object of mentioning this is not to discuss the life of Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, but rather for us to realize that there is no saturation point in our lives. You must never ever feel that I've changed enough and now I can become complacent. There have been enough changes now. Now I'm fine where I am now, and there's no need for me to improve anymore. We must understand that this effort to improve ourselves, improve our akhlaq, strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is something that must continue till death. Till death, this must continue. Serving the deen of Allah ta'ala and improving ourselves. Each one of us, we have our own shortcomings, we have our own skeletons. And we must realize and understand that we can fool insan. We can put on a front, right? But we cannot fool Allah Ta'ala. We can fool insan, we can think we're very, very sharp, right? We know how to wrap this one, we know how to wrap that one. We know how to behave in front of this one. We know how to behave in front of that one. We know how to twist words. We know how to do things. But at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala is aware of everything. And we have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala and give an account of our deeds. There is no word that we speak. There is no action that we carry out, except that it is recorded. It is recorded. Hazrat Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, our late Shaykh, used to always say that there are four things recording all the time. One is the Namay Amal. It's recorded in our Namay Amal, our book of deeds. The other is our limbs are recording. Our limbs are recording everything. The third thing is the earth is recording. Earth is recording everything. And the fourth, the malaika are recording in their memories. This is besides the fact that Allah Ta'ala is Alim, Allah Pak is Khabir, Allah Pak is Sami'a, Allah Pak is Basir. Allah Ta'ala sees everything, hears everything, knows everything. Even the secrets of the heart, Allah Ta'ala knows it. Allah Pak knows each and everything. Over and above that, Allah Ta'ala has got these four things recording all the time. So, who are we going to fool? Who are we going to fool? Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ, the hypocrites, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ, they think that they are deceiving Allah Pak. They are putting on a show, you know. Outwardly they are showing something. Inside they are somebody else. So what do they think? They are getting away with it. Do they think that they are getting away with it? يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ, that in reality who is being deceived? Who is being deceived? They are deceiving themselves. They are living a lie. They are deceiving themselves. Right? So, we have to be very, very careful to put on a garb of piety, to sit in gatherings of piety. Right? All these things are a means to become pious. These things are a means to become pious. A person puts on a garb of piety, he joins pious company, he sits in circles where the deen of Allah Ta'ala is being discussed, right? He makes khidmat of deen, etc. All these are done for what reason? It is done so that we bring piety into ourselves, taqwa into ourselves, amal saliha into ourselves. But if we turn that whole thing into a smoke screen, that is just a smoke screen for us. It's just a front. Right? Then, what are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to ourselves? Right? The munafiqeen, whose suhbat they had? They had the suhbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That suhbat was such a suhbat that just one gaze, the person got iman, right? Sincere iman is got in his heart. And just one gaze converts that person from nobody into a sahabi. Right? Just one gaze. The person after that doesn't see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again for the rest of his life till he passes away. But he is a sahabi. Right? His status and rank is higher than any buzurg that can walk the surface of the earth. That is what that one gaze does. Provided there is the light of iman in the heart. But the very same sohbat, the very same gaze, the munafiqeen also got it. The munafiqeen, they also got the same gaze. Right? They also sat in the same company, they sat in the same programs. They read namaz behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They went in jihad with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the sohbat never benefited them in any way. Why? Because for them it was just a smoke screen. It was just a deception. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't throw anybody out. Whether it was a munafiq, whether it was a sincere believer, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't throw anybody out. In fact, the leader of the munafiqeen, he gave his kurta for that person to be buried, to become that person's coffin. But it's not going to benefit him in any way. Understand? So we have to have ikhlas. We have to have sidqadil. Because at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala knows the reality. Who we fooling? Right? Allah Pak knows the reality. So our akhlaq, our character, right? Our zaban. We give somebody our zaman. Today, it's become like a kale, like a game. We give our word, we go against our word. We give our word, we go against our word. Sometimes we're speaking so many lies, we actually start believing the lies. We're so caught up in our own lies, that we actually start believing that the lies is the true story. Allah Ta'ala knows the reality. Allah Pak knows the truth. Some people, they have got the gift of the gab, you know. They got the gift of the gab. They can turn everybody else into a liar. Some people, they will even amaze the lawyers also. Lawyers also can't touch them. They'll teach the lawyers a thing or two, you know. But in Allah's court, here the person, whether he's between husband and wife, whether he's between business partners, whether he's employer, employee, whether it is a person in business and his suppliers, whatever it may be. You can have the gift of the gab, you can change the story, people sometimes they argue, you know, there is a big problem here. Now instead of sorting the problem, they know how to avoid that discussion and start arguing on some other side topic. Shift the focus. You think Allah Pak doesn't know. The dunya we may get away. Dunya we may fool everybody. But in Allah's court, you can't get away from anything. You can't get away from anything. So this akhlaq of ours, this character of ours, whether it is within the home, whether it is out of the home, whether it is while we are driving, whether it is while we are dealing, right? Whatever, our akhlaq must be the same. Why is it that with friends we can show a good side, and with other people we show a haughty side of us? Why? Because it shows that our life is not for Allah. Our life is not for Allah. You see, if a friend insults another friend, but in a joking style, he insults, he says something. He can say the worst thing. Bad things he can say. The other day I came out from one masjid, so one person is telling me, say, you know what's this man's name? So he's giving me some heavy name, bad something, I don't know what. Right? But both of them are laughing. He's smiling. Let another person come, who's not your friend, and say the same thing. Now you're hot under the collar now. Now we want to fight and argue. Why? Because the smile that I showed is not for Allah. It's either matlabi. Some matlab is not for Allah. The akhlaq I showed is not for Allah. If the akhlaq I'm showing is for Allah Ta'ala, then whoever came to tell me that, so what? Whoever said that is fine. It's just me. Right? For Allah's pleasure, I'm not going to lose my cool. For Allah's pleasure, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to take offense. I really regard myself just a filthy drop of semen, that's all. I regard myself as a container of feces and urine, and my end a rotting corpse. So what I must take offense for? But if in one situation I am not taking offense, in another situation for the very same thing I am taking an offense, then my life is not for Allah. See, my life has to become for Allah. Every situation, my life must be for Allah. You know, Zuma Magda Sahib, Taun Barakatuh, so much so he mentioned that sometimes your own child will upset you so much. Right? Now all thoughts go through your mind. I did this for him, I did that for him. So he's so ungrateful and like this and like that. Right? So why I did all of that? All the things I did all the time, for what? Was I doing for him? If I was doing for him, now I'll be upset. If I was doing for Allah, then I got my reward. Now why I'm upset? He mentioned something. He said, never chase your child out of the house. You reach a point where you're so upset and you say, you know what, get out of the house. He said, never do that. That's not in keeping with good akhlaq. You must have good akhlaq. Even with the son, you must have good akhlaq. If it's no locking horns, you know, You won't understand. You don't have that challenge, you see. He too won't understand. Don't have that challenge. But where it's locking horns, right? So then, you just make salam and keep your distance. But don't throw him out of the house. Throw him out of the house. You're throwing him to further harm. You're throwing him to his destruction, to further harm. Right? The point is, if I'm doing for Allah, then there's no problem. Then even though he's disrespecting me, and then he's eating my food here. He's disrespecting me and he's eating my food. So why am I feeding him? I'm feeding him for Allah's pleasure. Allah Pak is going to reward me. He's disrespecting me. That's his problem. I'm still trying to make his tarbiyat and still try to educate him. But if I allow my anger to come away inside there, then it shows that I'm not doing for Allah. I'm not doing for Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has to, that everything, every word of mine, every action of mine, it has to be for Allah Ta'ala. Then we have to check within ourselves, what are my weaknesses? What are my weaknesses? And I need to sort my weaknesses out. Whatever my weakness may be, I must sort it out. The first step is to acknowledge my weakness. The first step to Tawbah is to first acknowledge that this is my weakness. A person is talking in the masjid, is talking loudly, other people are reading Salah. Right? If somebody tries to tell him also, he gets offended. Why? Because he's not even identifying it as a weakness. You've got to first identify it as a weakness. Acknowledge that this is my weakness. Then I need to take steps to rectify that weakness. But if I don't even acknowledge it as a weakness, then I would justify. If somebody comes to tell me, no, I'll justify it. Because I'm not acknowledging as a weakness of mine. If my weakness is the manner in which I treat my wife, so that is my weakness. I must sort it out. Imam Aghdas have always mentioned, he says, expect nothing. Expect nothing, but give everything. Expect nothing. Expect the worst, but give your best. Expect the worst, but give your best. Why? It's for Allah. It is for Allah Ta'ala, not for anybody else. One big problem today, in today's time, you see, economic climate is not in the best situation. Right? So what's happening? The business that people were doing, they're not doing that kind of business. A lot of people are closing down. A lot of people are downscaling, whatever. So when this thing is happening, these type of problems are taking place. So we start thinking that in order to sort the problem out, I need to do more business. Because I have made I have accustomed my standard of living. Right? I brought myself to a certain standard. And I've gone accustomed to that. And everybody in the community also, they know I'm like that. Right? So now my business is not doing so well. But now how am I going to drop now? How am I going to drop? So, in order to keep the standard, in my mind is, I must go and open another shop now. I must try something else. I must go and do something else. Right? That is not the solution. That is not the solution. The solution is to become simple. The solution to the problem is to bring simplicity in the life. So I must first start off with my luxuries and my hobbies. Right? Now I got a certain hobby. I'm spending so much of money on that hobby. But you see, that gives me my kicks now, you know. My friends, my hobby, you know. But I'm spending a lot of money on this hobby. And the business is not doing what it was doing. So first thing, I must cut that thing out. I must curtail it. Right? I must be honest with myself that, look, I can't afford this thing now. Even if my friends are calling me, I must be able to tell them, but you know what, I'm sorry, I can't come now. Why we want to still keep that image? Because we're living for people, we're not living for Allah. We want to keep that image because we're living for people, we're not living for Allah. By even if a person had made a certain commitment, right? Say for example, you told the masjid people you will give so much to the masjid every month. Right? Now you can't afford it. You can't afford it. So why are you embarrassed to come and say that, you know what, I can't afford it? Is it a guna if you can't afford? It's not a guna. So if you need to cut it out, you must cut it out. You can't afford it, you can't afford it. Finish. Where's the problem? Why go into qaraz? Right? You see, understand. If you're making a certain contribution towards a certain institute, whatever it may be, now you can't afford it. Your business is not doing what it used to do. So you can't afford it. And you stop making that contribution or you drop it down. Right? But no use keeping your hobby up there and dropping this down. So after you finish, knock out all the fat everywhere. Your hobbies you knocked out. Your eating out you knocked out. Right? All your branded clothing and shoes, all that you knocked out. Right, extra trips everywhere for nothing, you knocked out. And now you're still not coming out. Right. So now, you can go and say, no, I was giving 1,000 rand a month. I can only afford now to give 500 rand. Or 250 rand. Right. Would you get guna for that? You won't get guna. But if the person goes now he wants to maintain that 1,000 rand. Why? Because now all the mutawallis and everybody, they know now I was supposed to give 1,000 rand contribution, right? How I can say that I can't afford now? What do you think now? I'm not making it, you know? I'm no more sharp now. My ratings will drop. So how am I going to say I can't do it? So what I do now? Go get involved in one qaraz over here. Go get involved in one qaraz over there. And I'm just keeping this image going. Now if I pass away like that, I pass away with all these debts, of what good is it? Of what good is it? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so merciful, but if somebody had qaraz, he shouldn't even perform the janaza namaz. He shouldn't perform the janaza namaz if somebody had qaraz. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if somebody else took the responsibility, somebody else took the responsibility, said, no, I'm taking the responsibility of the qaraz, then go ahead. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, somebody asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that if I pass away as a shaheed, so all my gunas are maaf. All my gunas are maaf. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, all your gunas are maaf. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the person, what you asked? What question you asked? He said, if I pass away as a shaheed, all the gunas are maaf. Say, all your gunas are maaf except debt. Except debt. Even a person passes away as a shaheed also. But if you got qaraz, that qaraz is not maaf. Debt is not maaf. So don't get involved in a debt that we can't pay. And don't get involved in a debt relying on something else. Because then we give lot of people taklif. Lot of people in between get taklif. You take a debt relying on something else, working out from somewhere else, and then you pay something else. Lot of people get taklif in there. So these things you must be very, very careful. One thing we spoke about is that this effort to improve ourselves continue till death. Never ever become complacent and think that now, you know what, I've done enough now. You know, I'm in a good wicket, in a good standing, I don't have to worry about anything now. No. The effort is to carry on till death. The other thing we spoke about is that each one of us, we know our weakness. Right? And we have to correct these weaknesses. And the only way we will do it is if we make Allah Ta'ala our objective. If our objective is insan, then as long as we're fooding insan, we'll be happy. But that was the objective of hypocrites, of munafiqeen. As long as they were fooding insan, they were very happy. Right? But that's not our life. We are believers. Right? We are believers in Allah Ta'ala. So our objective is Allah Ta'ala. So we cannot fool. We cannot fool Allah Ta'ala. Things that Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram, we are still indulging in it. Outwardly we showing a lot of piety, but we're not sorting out within us. We're not sorting our problems out within. Right? And the other thing we spoke about is be very careful of death in this environment that we are in. Be very, very careful. The solution to the problem is to bring simplicity. The solution to the problem is not to think I'm going to do more business and open another shop and do something else. No. The solution to the problem is badaza. Bring simplicity into our lives. Right? And it is not a sin if you have to come down a few rungs of the ladder. Right? This too we will do if Allah Ta'ala, if we believe in La ilaha illallah, Allah Ta'ala is our objective, then we'll do. But if people are our objective, then we worry about our status. We worry about what the people will think. What is my standing and my ratings going to be in society? We worry about all those things. Make Allah Ta'ala our objective. This qarz is such a thing, debts is such a thing, that see, if a person has got debt, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't even want that person to come for Hajj also. He must pay his debts first. Person has got debts, right? Allah Pak is not saying you must come for Hajj. First pay your debts. After paying the debts, then you got money to come for Hajj, then well and good, come. But if you haven't got the money and you have got debts, then don't come for Hajj also. It's more important to pay your debts first. But today, if we are owing somebody else money. We are owing somebody else money. But we still want to act haughty. We're owing somebody else money, we still want to act haughty. If somebody have to ask us also to pay, so what you think, I'm running away? What you think, I'm running away with your money? We are making commitments, we are giving our zaban, and we just keep going against it. Right? So, if we are doing this type of thing, then we can be sitting in how many majlises we want to sit. We can be doing how much dini work we are doing. We can go and do what nafal, whatever we are doing. Contributions here, nafal, this charity, that. Whatever we are doing. But if we are usurping other people's wealth, whether it is suppliers' wealth, whether it is people's money that we have taken, all those other things are not going to help. All those other things are not going to help. We will be answerable in the court of Allah Ta'ala, and we will find that there is no barakat in whatever we are doing. We will be working so hard, we will be doing so many things, but just not working out. There is just no barakat. There is just no barakat. We are taking people's badduas and we are making people cry, because we are usurping other people's haq. Right? So then it's no use being charitable, it's no use doing optional things. rather pay the people. Hazrat used to say, if a person is in a situation, sell off your assets. Sell off your assets and pay the people. But don't live in this rut of debt. Don't live in this rut of debt. Rather sell off your assets also if it means, if you have to. Sell off the assets and pay the people. So what? So what if we don't have now? So, you know, I have so many properties and so much this and so. So what if we don't have it? There's no guna. There's no sin. But lying to the people, giving commitments, not sticking to the commitment, just to put up a front, in this we are answerable in the court of Allah Ta'ala. We are answerable in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So as I said to you, the solution to the problem is bring simplicity. You can't afford that lifestyle anymore. Come down. That time Allah Pa gave it. You enjoyed it. Now you don't have it. Come down. Finish. Simple. Bring our expenses low. Bring our expenses low. Instead of trying to maintain that kind of a lifestyle and then involving oneself in debt, using suppliers' money, using investors' money, whatever it may be. Coming up with schemes. People actually lie. They make up schemes to get money out of people. So all this, Allah Rabbul Izzat is hearing, Allah Pak is watching, and Allah Ta'ala will take us to task. We must make tawbah, we must make istighfar. Whatever our weaknesses may be, make tawbah, make istighfar. Turn to Allah Rabbul Izzat. If we have wronged people, phone and apologize. Phone and apologize. And apologies must be made with humility. Today our apologies too got attachments to it. Apology is not email with attachments. Apology is something you make with humility. You know, forgive me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, please forgive me, and I'm going to make good. Not, yeah, alright, yeah, but you know, when things were just like this and when things were like that, take out this story, when I did that and when I... No, but then that's not apologizing. That is not apologizing. Apology is something that is done with extreme humility. Joe, I am sorry. I'm sorry for my behavior, my actions. Right? Please forgive me. Right? And I'm going to make good what I've done. I never ever think that now because I got a little bit of respect in the community, or you know, I'm sitting in this circle or that circle, so now I'm ponchero. I reached somewhere and I don't have to worry. Everybody else is bad, everybody else is wrong, and I am now very, very pious, and I don't have to worry about anything about myself. No. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when that ambassador came to him and he said that, well, this is a poison, you know. Just one drop you give your enemy, that fellow will be flat in a few hours. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala, what he did, he took that whole poison and he drank it himself. Now we mustn't try it. Their iman, yaqeen was all something else. So the sahaba also were so worried that what's going to happen to Amirul Mu'mineen now? But then he said, the biggest enemy is lurking within. If there's anything I want to kill, is that enemy, the nafs. But he was also teaching that person iman and yaqeen. Only if Allah Ta'ala wants this thing to work, it will work. You got so much of reliance on this poison. If Allah Ta'ala don't want it to work, it won't do anything. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Give us tawfiq, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq. And that we must look into ourselves, whatever our weaknesses are, whatever our shortcomings are. Sometimes we think we're serving deen also. But in that we're making so much of ghibat also. In that work of deen also we're making so much of ghibat. So now, of what use is it? We're throwing all the sawab away. We have to watch ourselves. All the time, watch ourselves. Keep Allah Ta'ala in front. Watch my words, watch my actions, my thoughts. Where is my heart going? All the time we got to watch ourselves. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, give us tawfiq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والإفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله رب العالمين إن شاء الله tomorrow night program will be in Port Shepston in دعاء الله تعالى give us إخلاص and الله تعالى accept it سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته